Welcome to the Community Mennonite Church Podcast. Today we have a sermon by Pastor Jennifer Davis Sensenig.
During this election year in the United States, we hear about values, New York values, family values, American values. As Christians, we also experience tensions among competing values, dilemmas that can become raging disputes within our own hearts or in our communities. Right now, as Eastern Mennonite University and Lyndale Mennonite Church are accused of mishandling the disclosure of an abusive relationship, the values of defending victims, holding each other accountable, and raising up diverse leaders in the church are in tension. And sadly, it feels like less like Holy Spirit-inspired tension that generates creativity, and more like tension that cuts off circulation in the body. More personally, perhaps, this week, we've compromised the values of faith, family, work, and rest in nearly all of our households. Our core values are undercut by the pressures and pace of our lives, by our laziness, and by our stubborn willfulness. We want to live according to our values, but individually and as communities, we fall short. Of the values we preach and teach, is it only a dusty version that are lived out in daily life? Lord, have mercy. So when we gather for worship, we claim our deepest values once again. And in worship, at least I've sometimes felt this, our God claims us, and we know to whom we belong, and we're not alone. God gathers us into one body, and we become interdependent, bearing one another's burdens of sin and rejoicing with each other's triumphs. We are valuable to God. We are not perfect, but in worship, sometimes we are converted again to Christ. And as Hebrews chapter 2 puts it, we do see Jesus. And the vision of Christ and the kingdom restores our values to their rightful place in our collective conscience. Our story from the book of Acts comes from a period in the early church when tensions between competing values were high. It is the Apostle Peter's testimony about his experience with Gentiles. Now remember, Peter is the outspoken disciple of Jesus, champion of kingdom values. Peter said to Jesus, "We have left our homes to follow you." And Peter said, "Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death." But like us, Peter failed to live up to his values. When hard pressed, Peter denied that he even knew Jesus. But the good news of Peter's life is that after his denial, he received forgiveness from the Lord and he re-engaged his values at a deeper level. In fact, Peter began to be guided by the Holy Spirit. I'm not preaching a whole sermon on the work of the Holy Spirit, but there are two things to keep in mind right now. First, the Holy Spirit is the wisdom and power of God, especially for those times when our values are in tension with each other and we need to discern, make a decision. And second, the Holy Spirit often warns us through our conscience when we're apt to betray our values. The distinction between Jews and Gentiles was a crisis for the early church. On their best days, the tension generated creativity like that inclusive compromise that was reached at the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15. And on their worst days, this tension cut off the circulation in the church body, resulting in wounds and division. The books of the New Testament are honest about this tension. And I see Peter's vision as the Holy Spirit's message to the collective conscience of the early church, exposing this tension and providing some wisdom. While he's praying, Peter has a vision of a sheet. Incidentally, the biblical word for the sheet here is the same as the word for the sail on a fishing boat. So even though it's a strange vision, Peter was very familiar with part of it. It came close to him. But the sailcloth lowered from heaven by its four corners is full of animals that Jewish law considers unclean, not to be eaten, not to be sacrificed as an offering. A voice says in the vision, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." This is offensive to a Jew. It's not just an unpleasant dream. It's more like a gross nightmare. But the biblical humor between the lines that I was thinking about this week is that Peter, being from Galilee, if he's really hungry, he's not going to get up and kill one of these animals. He's going to go catch some fish. But you see, the vision is not just personal. It's not just about what Peter should pack for lunch. The vision, repeated three times, indicates that the Jewish food laws are not as important as Peter and the church have believed. The Jewish food laws were a boundary around the Jewish people, and this vision opens Peter's eyes to see beyond his community to the nations of the world. So, after this vision, in response to a request from several Gentiles and guided by the Holy Spirit, Peter goes to the home of Cornelius, a Gentile, a potentially dangerous Roman military officer. Obviously, Peter is engaging deeper values at some risk to his reputation and even his physical safety. Once he's in Caesarea, there is some sort of worship that goes on in Cornelius' home. It starts very badly. Cornelius seems to worship Peter, which is nearly a disaster. And you'll notice that Peter doesn't share that part of the story when he makes his report to Jerusalem. But in the course of events, this devout Roman centurion and his family listen to Peter's message about Jesus Christ. And then Peter's sermon gets off track, as it sometimes does for any of us. And the Holy Spirit just interrupted and began to work in the lives of the people gathered. And just as has happened to you and to me, Peter had that experience in worship of being claimed by God and becoming one in Christ with brothers and sisters, and they were Gentiles. Well, the rumor mill in the first century was not as fast as the internet, but when the leading members of the church in Jerusalem heard about Peter's visit to a Gentile house, they were critical. Let's say they were anxious. Their values were threatened, their laws were being broken, and one of their leaders was getting out of line. And like Peter himself, initially they were focused on the details of Jewish food laws. But when they hear Peter's testimony, they realize that something more important is taking place. people are turning toward God and accepting the message of salvation and forgiveness through Jesus Christ. And their criticism begins to quiet down until there is silence and they praise God. Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life. Three core values emerge in this early church story that we need today. First, Peter values love. Love of neighbor, love of stranger, love of enemy. Love one another as I have loved you. We heard in our gospel reading that Jesus taught his followers to love. And just as Jesus loved even a disciple who had denied him, Peter decided to love even the Gentiles. Peter chose to love Cornelius rather than avoiding him as an enemy. He worships with him. He eats with him. He stays in his home. Second, Peter values sharing the message of Jesus Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit. He's willing to go out of his comfort zone, out of town, to share this message. In Acts 10, the previous chapter, we actually hear Peter's sermon, or at least an excerpt of it. If the message and person of Jesus have transformed and reoriented our values and our lives, then surely we want to share this message appropriately. But, you know, sometimes we ask, how do we begin to share the message of Jesus in a pluralistic culture like ours? Well, Peter lived in quite a pluralistic culture, actually, too. And he began in the place of greatest common ground with these Gentiles. Check out his sermon if you have a chance. But he begins with this wide and welcoming embrace of people of every nation. And he shares the basic outline of Jesus' ministry, his death, and his resurrection. And then he brings it, he makes it current for these Gentiles in Cornelius' house, saying that all people can experience forgiveness through Christ. And then later, when he's reporting to other leaders in Jerusalem, Peter again shares the message of Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit. He describes his own conversion, how the vision of the sheet was a message from the Lord, how worshiping with these Gentiles, he remembered all over again in a fresh way Jesus' teaching about baptism through water and the Holy Spirit. Though he'd been following Jesus for years by this time, Peter shares the message of Jesus through another conversion. Third value, Peter values accountability. In addition to loving strangers and enemies, Peter loved his brothers and sisters in Jerusalem, even those who were critical of him, who were probably kind of hard to love at that time. Peter's approach to them, like his approach to the Gentiles, is context-specific. Accountability does not mean that Peter will accept the criticism of the church leadership as gospel truth. Accountability means Peter will give an account of why he is willing to accept the Gentiles. You know, I was thinking about this. It seems to me that Peter could have made a really good argument directly from Scripture about accepting the Gentiles. I mean, there's all kinds of prophecies about it. But even story-wise, Gentiles from the Old Testament that are en route to the kingdom of God include people like Melchizedek and Naaman and Rahab and Ruth and all the Ninevites. I mean, that's just a few of them. It's so interesting that to me that Peter's accountability is a bit humbler, a bit more heartfelt than just stacking up convincing scriptural evidence. Peter tells his own story of conversion. There are a lot of other kingdom values that emerge from this story: forgiveness, conversion, mission, worship, leadership, yielding to the Holy Spirit. But today I've lifted up love, sharing the message of Jesus, and accountability. Here are just a couple of examples of these values in our community. Harrisonburg District of Virginia Mennonite Conference will receive a proposal in May, we've begun discussing it already, about some political signs that reflect one of our Christian values. The Mission Advisory Committee sees it as a way to engage and influence the political process in our local community during a season that is fraught with tensions, and when Mennonites, if recent history is repeated, will be divided by political parties. Here's what the sign says. It's in three languages: Spanish, Arabic, and English. No matter where you're from, we're glad you're our neighbor. The sign concludes with Mennonite Church USA and our Peace Dove logo. If Harrisonburg District delegates pass the proposal, we'll supply signs for your yards. I hope you'll consider displaying one at your home. This is a really simple way to live out the value of love for neighbor. It'll be more complex when we're asked to explain our sign and perhaps share the message of Jesus as we do. With regard to the value of accountability, pastoral team has recently given an account to our conference leadership about why we hope they will refrain from suspending the credentials of a fellow pastor in one of our VMC churches. This pastor, on behalf of his congregation, is ready to officiate in a same-gender wedding. And although there are competing values and sometimes sharp dispute across the church on this matter, we wanted to give our testimony to see whether wounds and divisions could be avoided this time. Peter's vision enabled him to re-engage his values in a deeper way. He was not aiming to win a debate, but to humbly go where the Holy Spirit was leading him and to share the message of Jesus within his own church community and beyond. Today, as we name some of our core values, let's allow the tension among the values to generate creativity rather than cut off the circulation in this body. Let's trust that the Holy Spirit will meet us not only when we worship together as one body, but also as we pray alone, as Peter did. You know, sometimes I sense in the wider church an anxious urgency to rightly name and perfectly practice the values of our Lord, lest we fracture, dwindle, or become corrupted. Sometimes I feel despairing, but I take some comfort that when Israel had completely, and I mean completely, lost their moorings, when she had become not a blessing but a curse to the nations, with war crimes and idolatry and economic injustice and abuses of all kinds, God starts in again with a vision to a prophet and a universal message with the values of a creator God. Listen to these words from Isaiah and take heart. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is God who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. Who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in, who brings even princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. I, Yahweh, am first and will be last. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Community Mennonite Church podcast. Our theme music is a setting of John Wesley's text, Jesus, I Believe You're Near, composed by Matt Carlson. Jeremy Nafziger arranged it for strings. To learn more about our congregation or to plan a visit, please check out our website at cmcva.org.